Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series at toughmantri.com. RunCatalina.com. The Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 10th. VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've now raised over $93 million, sent out over 18,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. We are focusing on the 40th anniversary of the Ironman Triathlon World Championship. And really one of the pivotal moments in our sports history was when Sports Illustrated covered the Ironman back in 1979 and did a 8-10-page feature in Sports Illustrated. And the photographer that day, Mr. Peter Reed-Miller, who's had over 100 covers of Sports Illustrated during his amazing career. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. Doing great.
Awesome. So you were out there shooting playoff games this weekend. You're still at it.
Yeah, I was in Philly on Sunday, and I was in Minneapolis the week before. And actually, the week before that, we actually had a playoff game in Los Angeles for the first time in a million years. So, yeah, it's been good. I'm going back to Minneapolis next week for the Super Bowl.
How fun is that? That's we were just chatting about it. Retiring is really overrated, right? We want to keep doing this stuff.
Totally.
Right. You get to hang out with great people and the excitement of being in a stadium during the most, where the whole world is watching. It's got to be really special.
Well, you know, what I always say is that you're on the sidelines. You're kind of on the interface between all the energy behind you, that's the crowd, and all the energy in front of you, that's the players on the field. So it's an amazing feeling.
So let's go back, 1979.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? It's been 78 was the first Ironman 40 years ago, February 18th, actually, coming up next month.
Yeah.
So how did you end up shooting the Ironman? I can't imagine that was at the top of the list of events to be covering back then, because only 15 people did it in 1978 with 12 finishers. And that second year when you were there, 1979, 15 starters, 12 finishers. Why would Sports Illustrated even want to shoot that?
You know, Sports Illustrated at that time in its heyday was very writer-driven. And Barry McDermott, who did the article, I don't actually know how he found out about it, but if a writer suggested something, even if it meant sending a writer and a photographer to Hawaii for a week, whatever, it usually happened. And of course, they did a great story, and you said it ran forever in the magazine. But yeah, it was basically Barry's suggestion, and I was the West Coast guy and wasn't doing anything else that week, so they put me on it.
So when you get over there, because again, when you're covering football and you got 60,000 people in the stadium, and you go out to the start of this thing, and actually your classic photo of these 15 brave souls standing on the beach in 1979, I have a huge blow up of that on my wall. And you look at these, the first woman, Lynn LeMaire, and then there's Gordon Haller and John Dunbar. What did you know about these characters? And when you were standing on the beach, what were you thinking going, 1 week I'm covering the World Series, and the next week I'm covering this?
Well, first of all, what event have I ever covered that was postponed for a day? I mean, I remember going to the meeting the day it was supposed to happen, and they said, no, it's raining too hard, the sea's too rough, everything, so we're going to postpone it. Okay, well, when you only have 15 people, I guess that's easy. But it was still, the weather was tough in the morning, and I was just thinking, boy, this is going to be a long day.
And when I look at the photos, there's a classic shot. Here's Gordon Haller, who won the year before in 78, the first champion. And here's John Dunbar dressed in a Superman suit. And the two of them the year before, they went back and forth in the marathon, and I think John was drinking beer during the marathon because his team ran out of water, and Gordon got away and won that race. So really going into 79, it was the rematch. It's John Dunbar and Gordon Haller. These are two guys, and that's, you know, some of your photos were of those two guys. And then here's the saloon keeper from San Diego named Tom Warren started standing off to the side. And little did people know the guy was a, you know, swimmer at USC, and this is the type of stuff he did every day anyways.
Well, exactly.
What did you did
yeah,
you
well, yeah. I was going to say we basically before that we were there a couple of days early, and I know we spent time with both of the previous year's contesters.
Yeah.
And then Tom Warren came out of nowhere.
Right. Nobody knew who he was, and fortunately for Tommy, the swim was tough, right? I heard they couldn't even get support boats out there. Actually, Gordon Haller, I think, swam about 30 minutes slower than he did the year before. His crew got lost out in the ocean, and he had to have somebody else's crew help him out. But
his paddler went back in, couldn't handle it.
So while you were watching this, obviously you're looking through the viewfinder, you're getting photos. Any thoughts of this is crazy? This is one of the silliest things I've ever seen, or what were you? Or basically, it's like, listen, I'm here, I'm shooting, and I'm gonna shoot this thing, but I'm not gonna. I don't really know where this thing's gonna go.
That's pretty much it. It was like a totally uncharted territory for me. I mean, okay, they go off, they swim away, and basically, I don't go out in a boat with them or anything like that. So the next time I see them, is it the transition to the bike,
right.
And then it's like. Crazy trying to. I didn't have an assistant, so I literally was driving all those roads all around the island, kind of steering with one hand and shooting out the window with the other hand. so it was pretty nuts. It was pretty crazy.
So basically, you drive up, maybe find a spot for a scenic, and try to get a bicyclist in the shot, and then sort of leapfrog along as you go.
Yeah.
How fun is that?
If you pass somebody, I tried to shoot out the side, but it was really. Basically going ahead like that. And then the same thing with the marathon.
Right. Because they're running on the sidewalks and stuff, right? They're not like, there's no roads blocked off. This is
it's
sort of a rogue event. People are running through Waikiki. There's people heading to the beach and you hear these crazy people just running along.
Yep. That was exactly what it was. It was totally like a free-for-all.
What's fascinating is... there's so many stories that I tell just from that photo of the people on the 15 morons on the beach. Because so much of the history is there. You got Lynn Lemaire, who is the first woman to do it. I think she was like second out of the water and ended up finishing fifth overall.
Right.
And sort of showed that women could compete on a level playing field with guys in endurance, which has sort of been the case ever since. But she was, she was the leader. She was the first person to do it. And it was history. But at that point, I'm guessing you're not thinking, wow, this is a great piece of history.
No. I was thinking, what the heck? What am I, it was like, what's going to happen here? As a photographer for Sports Illustrated, I'm thinking, is this really going to be a story in the magazine?
Right.
And of course, that was the story that pretty much set off the whole sport.
Well, and it's really where I first read about it, and that led us to come over. So 15 people in 79 led to 108 in 1980, and now I think there's 45 full Ironmans around the world, 105 of the Ironman 70.3s. And it's, obviously it's the Ironman. People are putting that M-Dot tattoo on their body. That shows you that it's made a big difference in people's lives. And it's sort of created a brand new lifestyle of people doing crazy endurance events. Did you, besides the Ironman, did you get to cover any other sort of different type of events besides baseball, football, basketball?
Oh, yeah, I did some crazy ones. I did the World's Strongest Man contest, which this is a strength contest in which there is no drug testing. So you can imagine what these guys, we shot them in Hawaii, we shot them in Austria. That was great. And SI, again, in its heyday, was great for just picking up these weird little things and making a story out of it. And it was great fun. while it lasted.
Did you have any sense of when you started seeing more and more about this Iron Man thing, and then ABC comes on board and the Julie Moss
right.
collapse? Did you ever, when you're watching this stuff, going, wait, that's that little event I covered back in 1979?
Oh, yeah. No, I always, as I've watched the sport grow over the years, and I've had friends who've competed, and I've had a lot of friends who've covered it, and I've covered a couple of events of Ironman since then, but not a lot. I've never gone over to the islands again. But yeah, I always have a little bit of pride in saying, hey, I was part of starting this whole thing off.
You really were. I mean, your photography from that 79 race really helped put the sport on the map. Because when you look for images from 78, from the first year, there's very little. There really isn't much out there.
I think the advertiser, the Honolulu Advertiser, was the only real coverage there.
Right.
Other than maybe just people, you know, amateurs. But I remember because we were sort of talking about that. What was the rarity of my photos versus the first one? Well, there's almost nothing on the first one.
Well, and you're Peter Riedmiller, 100 Sports yes. Illustrated covers. You're one of the best who's ever done it. So there's a little difference when you get real imagery. And really, because of what you did, Tom Warren became a superstar. I mean, Tom Warren was Tom Warren is still to this day, because of those images and because of Sports Illustrated, he went on Johnny Carson and changed the whole face of the sport.
I have to tell you one little story about Tom Warren. We're about halfway through the marathon. We're somewhere up in Hawaii Kai or wherever, and it's uphill. And I pulled up and I stopped, and Tom and I had talked a little bit before the race, so he knew I had attended USC. He's running in like the 10th hour of this amazing event, and he starts whistling the USC fight song when he goes by me.
And I'm sure when you're seeing it's not like people are cheering for these folks. They don't even know who they are.
Oh, no, I'm the only person there. People that, you know, people are just, it's just houses. It's just where people, it's neighborhood. And I've stopped in the middle of the street photographing this lone guy trudging up the hill, and he's whistling Fight On for Old SC.
Oh, that is so funny. So when you look back, when did you first start shooting for SI?
I started shooting for SI in 77. So this was fairly early in my career with them.
And hooking on with Sports Illustrated back then, who had you been shooting for before?
I've been shooting for the NFL and for ABC. And this is back when ABC was Wide World of Sports.
Right.
It was really the prominent network in terms of sports coverage. So I did a lot of sports for them along with other shows. And then I shot football for NFL.
You know, it's always been fascinating to me, and somebody who's been with Sports Illustrated for so long. I mean, so many of us grew up with Sports Illustrated. Every Thursday, I mean, I've still got all my Sports Illustrateds going back to like 1960, right? In
wow.
cases in my house. It always amazed me that Sports Illustrated sort of didn't adapt to the whole television thing, because they could have been ESPN, right? Sports Illustrated should have been ESPN.
They could have, should have been a lot of things, yeah. They didn't... They tried SITV, but that was back when we were with Turner. Their websites have been, unfortunately...
not very
you
good.
Know, we've, not very good, yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I think we just were the best at what we did, and everybody thought that's good enough.
Right.
And they didn't see the changes coming.
It was fascinating to me because it was, you know, when people now, when I speak to groups and I talk about Sports Illustrated, a lot of people look at me with sort of that quizzical look on their face, like, sports
yeah.
what? Like, you mean ESPN? No. There
right.
was a thing before ESPN that it was actually bigger then. When that edition came out every Thursday, the whole world stopped to see what was on.
Oh, that was true, Bob. I mean, you would, you know, when you would say to an athlete, we're going to do a cover shoot for Sports Illustrated, they'd basically drop everything. Now, this generation of athletes all grew up on ESPN, and so we get 5 minutes.
Right, yeah. And when you look at how the athletes now are in a position where they create their own media. They've got their own
yes,
website.
They
can they can control the dialogue, and they can control the message. And starting with, you know, Lance Armstrong with 3 million followers back in the day,
right.
and then Tiger, et cetera. Has that made your job tougher?
A lot tougher. I mean, some people, will hardly, you know, pose for the magazine at all. And this is even, this is when I was still working there 5 years ago. You know, it would be very hard, or literally it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even less sometimes. I remember I did a 5 minute shoot with LeBron James, and this was maybe 10 years ago, and it was like the PR woman just looked at her watch and said, "You got 5 minutes," and that was that. And LeBron was great for those 5 minutes, but that's all he was going to give us.
Wow! And when you first, when you got your first Sports Illustrated cover, how exciting was that?
It was very exciting. It was especially so because it was Gus Williams, who had played basketball at USC, who was then playing for
Seattle?
Sonics.
The Sonics, yeah.
And I remember I kind of always had a little chip on my shoulder with Gus because he used to play basketball with my girlfriend at the time, and I was as really, you know, okay, you're just shooting hoops, right? So, but yeah, it was a thrill. It was a real thrill.
When you look back at your imagery, are there specific ones that mean the most to you?
Yeah, there are a lot, but it's kind of hard to be, you're so close to the work that it's hard to be your own, you know, your own judge, your own editor. But yeah, I have a picture of LaDainian Tomlinson going over a pile of linemen
yes.
in San Diego. You know, I've got that. I've got a Reggie Bush picture. I know you can't mention him anymore at USC, but it's still a great picture.
That's still a great photo, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've got favorites. Allyson Felix, the runner.
Yes.
A lot of them, yeah.
When you look, a lot of times with photographers, like my partner Lois Schwartz took this great photo of Dave Scott and Mark Allen, 1989 Iron Man, Iron War. And for her, it was like, I mean, her favorites were totally different than what the public's favorites were. Have you found that, you know, photos are like, oh, my God, this is an amazing shot, and then this other shot that you don't think is as one of your best is one that's more popular?
Yeah, I do find that. And, of course, most of my career, 35 years at Sports Illustrated, everything, it was you know, in the film days, it was just send the undeveloped film in and somebody else goes through it and they tell you how you did. And then even digitally, we would transmit everything. And so now I'm looking back and I'm trying to go through all my old stuff and make picks, and it's really hard. I'm not an editor. I'm a shooter.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So you have to edit your own stuff now. It's different back then.
Yes.
So
yes.
Nine yes. Olympic Games, 39 Super Bowls, 14 NBA Finals. Is there a favorite? Do you have a favorite sport that you cover?
Well, I have a great affinity for football. You know, I've shot it since high school, and it's always been something I've enjoyed. But I have to say the Olympics were amazing. I mean, the men's 100 meters at the Olympics, I don't think there's any more. The only thing I can compare it to is the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
In terms of the whole world's energy is focused on where you are for 10 seconds or a minute and 40 seconds or whatever. But for that time, there's nowhere else anybody's looking.
The whole world stops for that yes. 9-point whatever.
Yes, yes.
And out exactly. of those athletes, because I always look at those guys, they're our modern age gunfighters, right? They're
yep.
they're little psych games going on. And did you have some favorites out of those folks that you shot over the years, and Carl Lewis and all the different sprinters?
I have great respect for Carl. I mean, he competed in three Olympics. That's over 12 years he
yep.
competed on the Olympic level. So he's amazing. Usain Bolt.
Yes.
You know, he was really amazing. He gave me some great pictures. You know, they're all amazing. I mean, just being there and being in that context with all those people it's like a dream come true.
Is there something you haven't shot that you want to shoot?
Not much, really. You know, I've never covered an Indy 500, which seems kind of pedantic because all I do is go around the circles, but I've never done it. And now, you know, that the federations have reunited, it's kind of a big deal, but it's not so much as it was when I was growing up because I was a big car fan. But you know, I've really had a great career and just seen and done about everything that I ever wanted to.
And you're connected to this silly little sport from the
yes.
Now, did you? You must have spent a little time with John and Judy Collins, who were the founders of the Ironman, while you were over there. Did you get any a sense of? Because it's funny with John and Judy, they put this thing on, and I think they lost $25 year one, and they made $25 year two, and retired. You know, even.
But while they were ahead, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't get to know them closely, but I remember, you know, John, of course, addressing the group and, you know, the big decision about whether to swim, you know, whether
right.
to have the event on the day it was supposed to be, you know, could we swim in the Ala Moana Canal and all this different thing. I mean, he really, you know, for as small as it seemed, he took it so seriously.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's one of the reasons the sport has become so successful, is that in those early days, they really put their hearts and souls into it.
Love it. Peter, one of these years, you're going to have to come back and cover and shoot the Ironman again.
Yeah, I'd love to, actually. I did one down in Oceanside a couple of years ago.
Oh, 70.3, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the best thing about that is I did it from a helicopter.
Ah.
So I have a picture that ran like a double page spread in SI of just everybody in the water. And it's just solid people.
Yep.
So that was a lot of fun. I'd do it again.
Love it. Hey, Peter, thanks so much for taking time. It's always a pleasure to get to chat with you. It's what your imagery from that 1979 Ironman lives on. And what I love about a photo is every time, I'm sure, you know, when I look at a photo tells a story and it reminds you of what you were doing at that time. When you look back at some of your photos, is that what happens? You're looking at a photo and go, the photo's sort of the beginning of the story?
Yes, yeah, because I see myself in the context. And, you know, of course, who could forget Cowman?
Right, you know? Exactly. And the only guy to, I think he got kicked out of the race for impaling someone with his horns during the swim. But that was it. Back then, we had those characters. Tom Warren was an interesting guy. Now,
he was fascinating.
Did you shoot him at his tavern, too?
Yes, I did. I went down to Tug's Tavern maybe a month after the race, just before the story was going to run. It was maybe a couple of weeks. And hung out at the bar, you know, had a couple of beers with him, and it was great. I mean, he was in his element there as much as he was in the race.
That his race was so unique that he put on his Tug swim run swim, because you'd swim around Crystal Pier, run 5 miles to the jetty, Mission Beach jetty and back, and then do the swim again. And the first 75 people who came across, who not just came across the finish line, but ran from the finish line to his bar, got breakfast, right? You got breakfast, you got this plate of runny eggs, and you got a Tug's glass. And the bragging rights was to run through the finish, get to the bar, get your runny eggs and glass, and be there when the 76th guy got there and got nothing.
Yeah.
Ultimate bragging rights.
I remember his big special was the Breckerito.
The Breckerito. Oh, my God. Tommy was special, man. He's still out there. He's still riding. Every time I talk to him, he's like, yeah, Babin, I'm riding to Mexico. Okay, Tommy.
Something, why not?
Exactly. Why not? Nothing ever changes. Peter Reed-Miller has been our guest. And so, Peter, if people, you also have, a book, and people can purchase that. Is that something they can do through your website?
They can do it through Amazon.
Okay.
Peter Reed Miller on sports photography through Amazon, and my website is peterreedmiller.com, so check it out. I've got a lot of stuff up there in my work.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, check the whole thing out.
I love it. Peter, thanks so much for taking time. Always a pleasure to talk a little Ironman and Sports Illustrated with you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Peter Reed-Miller has been our guest again. ToughManTry.com, RunCatalina.com, VeloFix, the coolest mobile bike shop around. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. Last year, we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.